right, so Paul was, now I'm really hot, guys. Paul was in charge of, or not Paul, but Paul put Titus in charge of these churches. And as you can imagine, every time Paul established a church, the false teachers came in. And so why is Titus important to us? Because a lot of times we think, oh, that's not important to us. It's written to a pastor, the elders, the leadership. It's important for us because, yes, chapter 1 talks about that. It talks about the moral standards of anybody in leadership. Then it talks about the position of the bishop or the pastor teacher. But then it goes into chapter 2, which is all about this key word that we see over and over and over, sound doctrine. And it's so important for us to have this foundation. That's kind of been the theme lately. And you know, it's very important. Even last week when we talked about, you know, our marriages and in how we are to create strong foundations for one another. Because a house or a structure is as only as strong as its foundation. And our foundation, what is our foundation today? That's a great question. Some people believe, oh, our family values, our constitution, you know, where we live, our laws. It's like none of that is a good foundation. It might be a good start, but for Christians, for those who have been born again, for those who are citizens of heaven, our foundation is the Word of God. And so that's another word for sound doctrine. Sound is not corrupted. It is tested. It is true. There's no contradictions in it. And that's what he's talking about. This must be our foundation. And so in the first part of chapter 2 of Titus, he goes on and he's talking about, hey, here's what you need to do. Speak these things which are proper for sound doctrine. Then he uses this example of older men should be examples to the younger men and how we should look at life and also how our lives should look to other people. And all of this is based on sound doctrine. How do I act as a Christian? The Bible tells you. You don't have to second guess it. The Bible is your owner's manual, if you will. Then he goes on and talks to the elder women. He says, same thing. You should be an example. And last week we got into this topic of, well, you know, he's talking about, you know, you should be a mother, you should be, you know, keeping a good house and all these things. And I said, you know, those were just examples that Titus was being told, and it was very applicable to the people of that time. And I said, don't get caught up in the examples. The idea is that everything you should do, everything that you do should be unto the Lord. You fill in the blank, right? Yeah, our dynamics look a little different today. A lot of our families have two people outside of the home working, and that puts a challenge. Does that mean I'm not following God because, you know, I'm not doing what they said in Titus? And it's like, that's just an example, you know? And so we don't want to get caught up in that. And then he goes into bondservants there in verse 9, and he says, you too should act worthy of your calling. You should be of sound doctrine. And by the way, who's the bondservant here today? We all are. A bondservant to who? To Jesus, right? If you call Jesus Lord, he is your master. That's the word Lord, master. All right? So now we make this transition, and he's going to give us really the motivation as to why we do all these things. That's really important. We had this kind of conversation yesterday with the men's group, and you know, sometimes we beat ourselves up. We beat ourselves up because we try to do these things, and we fall short. How many times have you guys tried to be the example, the godly man, the godly woman, the bond servant to Christ, and you're like, ah, oh, failed again. So what do? We're going to try harder. And then maybe we get on a good winning spree, I call it, and we're like, man, look at me go. Look, I'm doing really great for God. And then all of a sudden, you fall down. And now you're like, oh, I'm doing really bad for God. You know what the problem with that is? Is who are we looking unto? Ourselves, right? The Bible is clear. It tells us we're going to have ups and downs. It says he who is not sin is a liar, and therefore you just sin. You know what the ninth commandment is? He shall not bear false witness. So, you know, you can't say you're all this great stuff before God, and then all of a sudden fall because you just sin. The point is this, is when we start looking at ourselves, we give credit to ourselves. And then when we fail, we give that failure to us. That's not the point of it. The point is yes, we're going to fail. Yes, we're going to have times of success. We're going to have mountaintop experiences and low valley experiences. But the whole point is stop focusing on you and focus on God. And that's what he's going to lead into here with verse 11 through 15. So grab your Bibles if you aren't already there. Titus chapter 2, verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify himself, his own special people, zealous for good works. Speak these things, exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no one despise you. All right, so I don't know if you noticed a common theme through there, but in that little section there, who was it about? It's about grace of God, which is Jesus Christ. And that's something that we really must get a hold of. So it starts off, and it says, for the grace of God. What does this mean? What is the grace of God? When we think of grace, we have three different kind of definitions of grace. Grace could be this person walks gracefully. She's elegant. She moves with grace. Not like me. I move like an elephant in a china closet. That's not very graceful, right? Some of us, right, we walk through a space and we're hitting every possible thing there is to hit. Knocking our heads into lamps, tripping over things on the floor, right? Some of those are more applicable to others. Yeah, everybody's pointing at Brandon. Yeah. And some of us can flow through just so gracefully. So that's one idea of grace. The other idea of grace is one of beauty. Wow, that looks so graceful, right? And it's not necessarily the movement, but it's the look. It's pretty. Then the third look is grace that is an undeserved gift. An undeserved gift. So what is God's definition of grace? Well, it is both the beautiful thing and the elegant thing, but more importantly, it is the gift. The gift. You see, we have to understand something. And this is really the foundation. We'll go back to that word. The foundation of everything we do. Everything that we are built upon is God's grace. We must understand that. And it's not to beat ourselves up, right? Sometimes when we hear these things, and we hear the depravity of man, we say, well, you just think mankind is just horrible. I'm not that bad. And that's usually what follows up that comment. And one of the hardest communities to reach is that of the rural area. You know why? Because everybody's a good old person. They're good people. We're not like them city people. But we're good people. We help each other out. We take care of the land. We are good people. And that's a struggle, right? Because, yeah, we're good people, but we're still sinful. You know, one thing you can look at yourself and you go, yes, I am S-I-N positive. What do you mean? I'm a good person. And so we hear these things that all of a sudden we take offense to that. But when we really look at it, God says, no, you're not. Because if it was possible for you to earn your way to heaven, there's no way in the world that he would send his only begotten son. In fact, Jesus was in the garden and he pleaded with God. And he says, let this cup pass from me. And he was so anxious about going to the cross. Listen, not for the pain. Okay? Not for the pain. But because he was about to take on every single sin of every single person from Adam till the last man standing. He took on everybody's sin and paid the price. And because he became our sin, he was separated from God. Because sin could not be in the presence of God. And that's what he was so worried about. That's why he, when he sweat, it was like blood. Because he didn't want to be separated from God. Now, let's just stop there for a second. Does your sin take you to that place where you're like, if I do this, I'm going to be separated from God? Man, if only, me included, if only we had that attitude in regards to our sin. I said yesterday in our men's group, I said, it's an easy way to look at it. It's easily said, difficult to do. Isn't that the Christian life? Oh, it's so easy. But yet it's so hard. You know why it's so hard, by the way? Because it's spiritual. It's spiritual. The things of the flesh are easy to do. Things that are spiritual are hard to do. Right? It's hard to come to church. It's hard to read your Bible. It's hard to set a time, you know, a word of prayer. It's hard. But yet it's so simple, isn't it? But have you noticed every time you try to do that, there's every objection, there's every, you know, kind of trying to move you. I just lost the word, but distraction. There you go. I got distracted from the word distraction. There's every distraction, you know, and it's kind of like when I was in National Guard. I was in National Guard for many years, and it's like I missed every one of my friends' weddings because they chose the same weekend. Out of 4 weekends, the one weekend a month I had to go to National Guard, they got married. And I'm like, you had a 25% shot here. You could have just picked any other weekend. But you got that one. And so it's kind of the same thing, right? Sunday, oh, that comes up. Now we've got a problem. But it's so easy in this simple kind of illustration. Ask yourself this question. Do I love God? Or do I love this sin? And which one do I love more? And if you just took a pause right there and asked that question, before you made your decision, I think that would change everything. And then it's a really sad moment when you realize, I love the sin more. Because you know what? I'm going to be honest with you, that might be a choice. In fact, every time you do choose to sin, that is the choice. So what am I saying with this? We don't deserve anything because we continually make that choice. We continually say to God, yes, God, I love my flesh more. Yes, God, I love this sin more. Yes, God, I love this more. And yet he says, oh, but I love you so much that I'm going to come and pay for that. Us what we don't deserve. Mercy is not giving us what we do deserve. And so the grace of God, and now check this out. It's interesting because it is the grace that does what? Brings salvation. How do I get saved? Well, I'll tell you how you get saved. Okay, here it is. You got your pencils? You better take notes. You need to come to this church, and you need to say this set of words, and on your way out, you need to drop some money in the box, and then in 2 weeks, you need to be baptized, and then we've got this new welcome member class that you have to attend for the next 6 months, and maybe by then, you'll be saved. Okay? You don't like that? All right, I'll change it. All right, if you want to be saved, here's what you got to do. stop doing everything that you're doing bad right now. And you have to say these prayers. And then you have to go to somebody that's special and confess your sins, and they'll give you a list of prayers to say. You don't like that either? Okay, I'll make it easier. Everything bad in your life that you're doing right now, stop right now immediately. Oh, Dave said good luck. So you don't like that either, Dave? You know what that's called, guys? That's called works-based religion. Religion. And you notice something there. That's what religion is. Religion is man's attempt to get right with God. And what do you know already about that? How many of you have tried to get right with God? And how'd that work out for you? Yeah. If you're like me, you know, one step forward, 6 million steps backwards. All right, let's try again. Okay. You know? And then some people even just go, forget this. Forget this. So none of that works, guys. But you see, if you want salvation, notice what it says. It is the grace of God. It is the grace of God that gives you salvation. The grace of who? So who gives you salvation? Yeah. But God needs a little help. You know, there's a story about that with Abraham. Abraham's given a promise, yeah. Abraham, you're going to have a son. And he says, what you talking about, Lord? Have you noticed how old I am? Them days are over. And he says it again, and then his wife even thinks it's funny. She laughs. But then they finally come around, and they're like, okay, God's great. He's going to give us a miracle. And many, many, many years go by. Guess what happens? Maybe God meant that we need to help him out. Hey, Hagar, come here. Maybe God meant that, you know, he gave me this promise, but then I got to go make something happen with Hagar. And that's what they did. And what was the result of that? Ishmael. Ishmael. And God's like, what you talking about, Willis? You see, is God faithful to his words and his promises? Yeah. Now, you might challenge that because you might be like Abraham going, you said that so long ago. I think you forgot about me, God. I think you forgot. Maybe God meant that I need to help him. How many of you feel saved today? Yeah. I agree. Sometimes I don't feel saved because I know the thoughts that I think. I know the deeds that I do, and I'm like, are you kidding me, Lord? And he says this. He says, yeah, you are my workmanship, and I am faithful to complete what I have begun. And it's not your salvation, but it's my salvation. So stop looking at you and your efforts. Start looking at who I am and what I say, because I am the Alpha, the Omega. I am the truth. I am the way. I cannot lie. And so it's God's salvation. It's God's grace that brings it. Now check out the second part of verse 11. This grace that brings salvation appears to man. Isn't that mind-blowing? Because how many of us say, I got to go find God? In fact, that's the common terminology, right? I found God. He was lost. And I found him. Man, I had to search all over. In fact, people often say to us, oh, you found God. God found me. You see, we were here living our lives, not looking for God. And he came to meet us. there's a difference. Let's think of the richest person in the world. There's a difference of you going and knocking on their door going, hey, can you donate a little love over here? That means I sought that out, yeah? Or that person coming to you going, hey, I noticed you were in need, and I'm going to give you something. No, you don't deserve it. No, you didn't ask me. No, you didn't do anything to deserve this. I just want to give this to you. And you're like, wow, really? Yeah. That's exactly what God. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son. In that while we were yet still sinners, he died for us. When we were enemies of God, he died for us. And that is the grace. Now, this is the foundation. Why is this the foundation? Because now, from that perspective, we now move and respond to that. You may hear this. James says, show me your faith by your works. What does that mean? It doesn't say, you know, show me works unto faith. It says that if you believe in something, then your life is going to demonstrate that you believe that. Right? If you wore a coat today, why'd you wear a coat? Because you believed that it was going to be chilly out. If you brought an umbrella, why did you bring an umbrella? Because you thought it was going to rain. If you thought you were getting a phone call, you would have brought your phone. You guys get the point? So this is why grace is so important. Because I really need to understand this. And by the way, people that struggle with sin in their lives continually, that trodden underfoot the grace of God, the bottom line of this is they don't have a good grasp of what God did. You're here today, hopefully, not to earn brownie points from God. You're here today because you have realized the depravity of you and the grace of God. And so now I come as an act of worship. It's not because I have to, but it becomes I have to. Some people misunderstand that when I say, you've got to be at church. And they're like, what are you doing? Taking attendance? And it's like you're missing the point. It's not a workspace I got to be here. It should be a heart issue of, man, I've got to be here. I've got to be here. Let me give you this example, and this is always my fun example. This is your life. Some of us have this life. This is the only life you have to live. If this is the beginning and this is the end, maybe you're here. Maybe you're here. Now, this, compared to eternity, is like a blink of an eye. But how we live here will determine how we live in eternity. Okay? We get so wrapped up, and we all do, but you don't understand, Bill, the necessities of life, and I got to provide. You know, Matthew talks about that. He says, seek first the kingdom of God, and all those things you're so worried about, they'll be given to you. Right? We forget that sometimes, dude. But while we're here, especially after receiving that grace, after being redeemed, understand, that was day one of your eternity. And you have a very short time before you enter into the physical eternity. Spiritually, we're there. Very short time. What are you going to do with it? Are you so concerned about whatever it is of this life? The Bible says, if you're so concerned about the cares and the worries of this world, so now, with that, we continue on. We continue on, and it says, because of this grace, okay, that's the foundation. Grace is what leads us to teach us. Grace teaches us, when I understand what God did for me, that we should deny ungodliness. Right? That timeline, guys, we don't have time for ungodly things. And basically, ungodly things are anything that's not of God. It's a distraction. And the enemy wants to distract you. He does not want you to grow closer to the Lord. Because the closer you get to the Lord, the more you shine His light. You are the moon that reflects the sun to the world. And the brighter your light shines, the more impact it has on the world. You want to have an impact on the world? Just follow God. And God will shine through you. So, you don't have time for the ungodly things. The worldly lusts. Do I care more about the things of this world or the things of heaven? Now, hear me correctly. The things of this world, they're important. Yeah, we got to live here. I'm not saying they're not important. Please understand what I'm saying. I'm just saying, on the balance, you know, do I love the things of the world more than I love the things of God? Kind of like that sin thing. Do I love the sin or do I love God? You see, guys, it's all about love. Which way do I want to go? You have your wife, and you have some strange female. You have a choice. You choose your wife. Why? That's a perfect interjection opportunity. Because you love her. Thank you. You get the point. When you choose the other, what are you saying? I don't love you. Yeah. The worldly lust. That we should live soberly. And understand what that means. Right? The sober-mindedness. Not, well, I'm going to get drunk. That's not what it's talking about. It's talking about having the rightful mind. And kind of tying into that, what does drunkenness do? You can't think clearly, right? Yeah. And I can't think clearly if I'm caught up in the things of this world. Righteously, right standing before God is another way to look at righteously. And godly in the day that Titus was reading this letter. Because it's not applicable. Oh, and by the way, the Old Testament's not applicable in this present age. He's talking to us today. In our present age, it still is the same. God is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He's not out of date. Verse 13, looking, grace also teaches us to look for the blessed hope. The blessed hope and the glorious appearance of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, who's the Savior? Jesus Christ. Okay? So grace, once we understand what that has done for us, motivates us to follow the teachings of the Bible, and then it motivates us to keep looking for God. What do we say church is? It's a gathering of the saints in worship and in anticipation of His return. And also in the meantime, it's for the equipping of us for the work of the ministry. That's church. That's church. What about Jesus Christ, verse 14? Who gave Himself for us that He might redeem. Buy back. And that's exactly what He did. He bought us back on Wednesday. Wednesdays, we mess up tradition. we took a hard look at where the cross was at, because we're looking at the third temple and the rebuilding of the third temple in Revelation chapter 11, and it's like, oh, the Dome of the Rock is in the way. The Dome of the Rock ain't nowhere near where the temple's going down. It ain't nowhere near the old location of it. We proved that with archaeology. We proved that with just common sense. We proved that with the Word of God on Wednesday. And then we looked across out of the east gate of the temple, and we found this really strange place, which is on the south part of the Mount of Olives. Okay? And it's believed there, not traditionally, believed there that that's where the cross is. And we saw in there that we lined it up with Mark where it said, and the earth was divided, and tombs were open. And right there, in some Palestinian's backyard, we see these tombs just in the rock. And it's like, oh, isn't that just like God? No. It says that Golgotha is on the north end, and that's where the tourists all go. Actually, nobody knows where that is. But if you use the Bible, it's right there. And isn't that like God? Because he doesn't want places to be worshipped. Interesting, though. But he redeemed us. He bought us back from every lawless deed. I'm glad it says every. You know? Every lawless deed. And purify for himself. So, who does the purification? He does. Why? For himself. You guys understand now? We beat ourselves up. Now, there's a balance to this. And this is why we go back to why we started with grace. Because there's a balance to this, because some people will hear this and go, oh, so I don't have to really care about living a purified life? I didn't say that. I just say if you go to that extreme and put all that responsibility on you, you're going to fail. It says here that he is doing the work. So what does that mean for me? I'm going to let him. I'm going to choose him. And by the way, every time I choose, it's like faith. It gets stronger. It gets stronger. Me seeking God. Me seeking God. Me seeking God. Me seeking the world. Me seeking God. You see, I'm getting a lot of good reps in from seeking God. And then before long, these things become less important to you because you reap what you sow. And we're told to sow into the Spirit and not into the flesh. Okay? So, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for himself his own special people. Now, check that out. You're special. You might be like, oh, Cooper's special. Yeah, me neither. But you are. Why? Because God has deemed you special. Stop looking at yourself through your eyes and start looking at yourself through God's eyes. That right there should be empowering, right? I beat myself up way too much. I'm like Eeyore. Whoa. How you doing today? You know, we laugh at that, but we all kind of do it. How you doing today? Man, I'm doing great. Why? Because I don't know why, but God loved me so much that he deemed me a special person, that he chose me to live in this time, that he has made me a king and a priest, that he said, I am the body of Christ. I can't believe it. I understand it. No, wow. I don't either. It's called grace. He made himself a special people, and because of that, you should be zealous for good works. Now, speak these things, Titus. Maybe you need to speak this to yourself this week. up, rebuke, stop thinking like that, Eeyore. You are a special person. You are a king of priests. You are saved. God gave his life for you. Stop thinking you're garbage. With all authority. Now, how can Titus do this in authority? Is it Titus speaking? Yeah. You see, when I speak, I'm not speaking on thus saith Bill. I'm saying, hey, guys, this isn't me. This is God. And his word will not return void. Understand this. That God, through his word, created everything. God, through his word, said, Lazarus, come forth from the grave. God, from his word, will say, church, come home. And then in Revelation 19, when he comes back, from his word, by the way, which is pictured as a sword, will bring his wrath upon him. By his word. There's authority in the word of God. Let no one despise Titus as a younger guy. And you know what? We don't have to say, well, I'm not very young. Some people can despise us because of our failures. Some people can despise us just because of our beliefs. They can despise us. Don't listen. Know who you are in Jesus Christ. So today we save communion for the last. Because I want you to know it's all about his grace. Understand. His grace is your foundation. His grace is what moves you to make the right choice. His grace is what causes you to seek his word, to seek fellowship and prayer, to come and to gather with his church. It's his grace that says, I'm going to choose you, God, and not the things of this world. It's his grace that says, yeah, because you did this for me, you love me, I'm going to love you, and I'm not going to sin. And if you just have that perspective from here on out, I think it's going to change your life. So one more time, God so loved you that he sent his only begotten Son to pay for your sin. And we're told that we come to the table of communion and we take the bread, which is his body, that was broken for us. And I don't know if you've ever noticed it, but look closely as you come up here this morning at the plate that we have in which holds the bread. It's broken. And through the shatterness of that broken plate, it was glued back together with gold. Not real gold, so don't steal it. And why gold? To show the beauty of the brokenness. You see, the beauty in Christ's body being broken for you. We do this in the Christ. And then we come and we take the cup, which is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink, as often as you eat, in remembrance of me, that blood is the blood that washed your sins away. The blood that John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God, who doesn't remove your sins for another year, but will take them away. Remember that, what I said on the cross, when he's in the garden, he says he took on every single sin. He became sin. He became that for you, because it comes with a cost, and he paid it on your behalf. And when we partake of the blood, we're saying, yes, God, I believe. And this is why we don't do communion on Christmas and Easter, by the way, because everybody comes up. And they do it. And it says, if you publicly do it, you are witnessing to those around you that you believe this in your heart. And if you don't believe it in your heart, you're bringing judgment. judgment upon yourself. You're known as a hypocrite. And that's why we don't do it very often, just so you know. Some people are like, I don't come to the church because you don't do communion every week. And the problem with some of that is it becomes a ritual. It becomes a tradition. And I'm walking up just because, just doing this stuff out of whatever. No. It is a testimony. It is a testimony that you believe and that you have received. That's what it is. So as we end today, we're going to end on God's grace. As we end today, I want you to remember what he did for you. And because of what he's done for you, you will not perish, but you will have what? Everlasting life. I want you to come. This is going to be an individual moment. We're not going to do it together. I want you to come forth, publicly professing you believe, and then I want you to go back to your seat, and I want you to spend time with God, and I want you to say, God,